News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to Skillnet Ireland, driving business success through innovative training and upskilling.
And I'm delighted to welcome to the Executive Chair this week, Patrick Cooney. He's from Bohan Distillery. Patrick, you're very welcome to the programme.
Good morning, Bobby.
How are you doing? Good, I hope.
Doing well.
Good. Now, it all started in Drogheda. You grew up there, but you became an accountant and you fled our shores for London for a short period with Deloitte back in the 70s, Patrick. Is that right?
Back in the early 70s, when I really went over there for the experience, because there wasn't that kind of experience that you could get in London. Deloitte was one of the biggest, one of the big four in London at the time. So it was big companies, there was mergers and acquisitions. So a kind of experience that just wasn't available in Ireland.
Yeah. Now, you were always a numbers man. I think, I suppose it started there. But tell us a little bit about the roller coaster years of the Gleeson Group. Again, that business, you were in it for 39 odd years, I think.
Sold in 2013.
But fascinating brands like Tipperary Water, Finch's, Mary's Irish Cream. But tell us about those years, if you would, Patrick.
Yeah, well, of course, I always had a burning ambition to do something for myself rather than to be working for somebody, to be master of my own destiny, I suppose. And of course, to do that, you have to take risks. But when you have no money or very little money, it's not too easy to do all the wonderful things that you'd like to do. So we started off, myself and my brother Nicky, started off by buying a small company, a really small company, in a small village in Tipperary called Borrisilee.
Yeah.
It was a small wholesaler, employing, I think, about 10 people at the time, with a turnover of about £150,000. So we bought that, and I headed off down to the village of Borrisilee for my comfortable job as a management consultant to Dublin. And I started off building that business, worked extremely hard, met some very good people along the way. And over the years, we acquired a lot of other businesses. And we built that business up to 300 million turnover. Wow. And 750 people. And the little village of Borrisilee, which is a very small place, we employed 350 people for all those years. So we're the biggest employer, or we're the largest employer in North Tipperary at the time.
And people think these things happen overnight, Patrick, as you say. Like, it took, you know, all that, you know, blood and sweat and hard work. The virtue of hard work, can that be overstated?
Well, for me, it takes a lot of work. It took a lot of work to do that. Well, I was helped along the way by some great people, particularly by my wife, who helped me build Tipperary into a really international brand. And she even still keeps a watchful eye on what we're all doing to make sure we don't make too many big mistakes. But certainly it took a lot of work. We met a lot of good people. We had some opportunities along the way as well. But, you know, generally speaking, in the kind of the business we were in, it was based in the domestic economy. You got to work hard and you make your own luck.
Yeah. And so then when that business sold in 2013, was that a kind of an itch that needed scratching? You kind of always wanted to do the whiskey thing, set up your own distillery. Had your unfinished business there?
Yeah, we had a bit of unfinished business. Like, I still consider myself a young fella at the time, you know. And we didn't sell everything. I kept the Creamy Cure company, because one of the things about the Gleeson business, even though it was a big company, and by Irish standards, a big company, it was very much based in the domestic economy. But the Creamy Cure company was exporting Creamy Cure to 30 different markets, 100% export, nothing in Ireland. So this seemed to me to offer a better appeal. The world is a very, very big place.
Yeah.
And there are lots and lots of opportunities. And spirits or spirit drinks is an international commodity. There's no boundaries, there's no barriers. There might be plenty of tariffs and other problems, but it's an international market and the potential was huge. So I always had an interest in whiskey. I've drank whiskey all my life. And of course, I've had an interest in whiskey from early times. And, you know, in the 80s, Irish whiskey, we started the whole thing. Uisce Baha, it all started here in Ireland. Had only a very small part of the international market. I think we had less than 2% at the time. But Pernod Ricard came into the Irish whiskey market and they helped develop Jameson, and the whole whiskey market began to develop. I always had an interest in whiskey and I always wanted my own distillery. So the next natural thing to do was for me to build a distillery. So we came across this pretty wonderful building here in Drogheda. It was a car show salesroom, by the way.
Wow.
But a pretty fancy car show salesroom with a lot of glass, glue lamb timber, just off the M1, great location in the Boyne Valley, history, mythology, all of that stuff floating around the place. So it seemed like an ideal opportunity to convert this particularly attractive building into a distillery. So what did we do? We went in search of what kind of distillery we wanted. I had an interest in Irish whiskey, and we wanted a distillery that was going to major in pot still. I don't know whether you know the difference between pot still and malt whiskey, Bobby. Maybe your listeners don't, but essentially, pot still was Irish whiskey.
Yeah.
Pot still is the quintessential Irish whiskey. It is what Irish whiskey was. But over the years, Irish whiskey went into decline. All of the old distilleries closed down, and there was a lot of them. I think there was 88 distilleries up until the end of the 19th century. A lot, they all closed down. And I suppose modernity took over, and even though Irish distillers was very, very important, Jameson is a pot still, but a pot still blend. But all the other distilleries are mostly malt.
Yeah.
And malt is very different as far as that it's made from 100% malt. So really all you have the opportunity to do to make to differentiate your whiskey is by different wood maturation methods. But with pot still, because you use other grains other than malt, you use malt, you use green barley, you use oats, you use wheat, you use rye, and you can use these in different proportions. And this is what the old distilleries did. And this is what really made Irish whiskey so famous and so great around the world and makes it so different to Scotch. Because...
Sorry, Patrick. Sorry. No, I just wanted to ask you as well. And I know the marketing of whiskey is, you know, the fields of barley and the copper stills and all that romantic stuff. But when we come back to the numbers, like there's 30-odd distilleries now from three. So it's built back up again. Is there too many distilleries in Ireland?
Well, that's interesting, you see, because traditionally there was a lot of distilleries in Ireland. Like, as I said, in the 19th century, there was at least 88 licensed distilleries in Ireland. So there's about 30 odd now, some of them small, some of them not so small, and some of them big. But no, the market has huge potential. In 2014, the market for Irish whiskey was about 5 million cases in total. In 2020, it was 12 million cases, and it's projected to go to 20 million cases by 2030. But that still only gives us about 3 or 3.5% of the world market.
Wow.
Scotch is about 10 times as big as us. So it gives you the opportunity. Scotch is not growing, whereas Irish whiskey is growing by about 10 to 15% per annum. But the world whiskey market is huge. If you take China, which is a new emerging market for Irish whiskey, or a potential new emerging market for Irish whiskey, only 1% of all the alcohol consumed in China is whiskey. And of that 1%, the Irish contingent is infinitesimal. So the opportunity is huge in places like China, in places like Russia, Australia, all those new markets. But traditionally, of course, America is still the big, big, big market.
Yeah.
And Irish whiskey has really come into its own there. And there's a huge interest now internationally in Irish whiskey. And more interesting, there's a huge interest in people investing in Irish whiskey. It's now seen as an alternative investment asset class. And it's really interesting to see the people who are investing in Irish whiskey. Some people are investing because they want a cask for their child's 24th birthday or for a wedding anniversary, or maybe they want to bottle their own whiskey for their business, put their own label on it. But there's quite a few other people who are investing substantial sums in Irish whiskey just to put it away, leave it there for 5, 10, 15 years and sell it on at what so far has been really strong compound annual growth in the value of maturing Irish whiskey.
Liquid gold, isn't that what they call
liquid
it, Patrick?
Gold. And it's an interesting feature, you know, in the UK, maturing, any profits made from maturing whiskey is exempt from capital gains tax. And I believe the same principle applies in Ireland. We're
okay.
Waiting for a ruling from the revenue on that. But I think generally Irish revenue legislation follows English old legislation.
Okay.
So I think that will happen as well.
It's a fascinating story. Patrick Cooney, director from Boann Distillery, with you and all your family. What a great legacy you're building there. So great business. And we wish you every success with it, Patrick.